From WHYY in Philadelphia, I'm Terry Gross with Fresh Air. On today's Fresh Air, we celebrate the centennial of the birth of Fats Waller, the great stride pianist, singer, musical comedian, and composer of such hit songs as Ain't Misbehavin', Honeysuckle Rose, and The Joint Is Jumpin'. We'll feature a concert of songs composed by Waller with guitarist and singer Marty Gross, a great Waller interpreter, and cornetist Randy Reinhardt. A Fats Waller tribute coming up on Fresh Air. First, the news.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Corey Flintoff. At the first court-martial in the Iraqi prisoner abuse scandal, Army Specialist Jeremy Sivitz pleaded guilty today to prisoner abuse charges. Sivitz was sentenced to a year in prison and a bad conduct discharge. NPR's Eric Westervelt reports from Baghdad.
The 24-year-old Army truck mechanic choked up in telling the Army judge about the night he ended up in cell block 1A as soldiers abused Iraqis. There were simulated sex acts, beatings, and a human pyramid of naked, hooded prisoners. Sivitz admitted he pushed one detainee into the now infamous pyramid, and he said he agreed to one soldier's request to snap a photograph of the pile. The few Iraqi governing council members who attended the trial called the outcome a positive start, but many ordinary Iraqis, such as street vendor Sabah Mahdi, said the penalty wasn't strong enough.
1 year in prison is not enough. Even execution is not enough. This is all for show and for media, and it's not right.
Three other soldiers faced June 21st hearings in Baghdad on prisoner abuse charges that could carry stiffer punishments than Sivitz's case. Eric Westervelt, NPR News, Baghdad.
U.S. military commanders in Iraq say a U.S. helicopter struck a safe house for foreign fighters last night near Iraq's border with Syria. Iraqis in the area say the helicopter hit a house where Iraqi civilians were celebrating a wedding, killing more than 40 people, including women and children. Associated Press video from the village shows numerous bodies being loaded on a truck, including those of children, and it quotes villagers as saying the wedding party was attacked. U.S. officials say that Allied troops came under fire from the house. They say that after the attack, troops found weapons, Iraqi and Syrian currency, and satellite communications gear. President Bush called today on all parties in the Mideast conflict to end the violence following an Israeli raid that killed at least 10 Palestinian protesters in Gaza. NPR's Don Gagne reports from the White House.
The Israeli government says the deaths were not intentional, that it's possible shells fired only as a deterrent may have exploded too close to the protesters, causing the latest fatalities. President Bush said he was waiting to get a full report from the Israeli government, but offered no condemnation when asked for a reaction.
It is essential that people respect innocent life in order for us to achieve peace. And we'll get clarification from the government. I haven't had a chance to speak to the government.
The president a day earlier spoke to a pro-Israel lobbying group in Washington and was cheered when he said that Israel has every right to defend itself from terror. But he also called the ongoing violence in the Gaza Strip troubling and said it's critical that all parties seize every opportunity for peace. Don Gagne, NPR News, the White House.
The Dow lost 30 to close at 99.37. The Nasdaq gained a fraction to 18.98. This is NPR News. Advocates for sexual assault victims blasted the University of Colorado Board of Regents today for not firing the school's football coach and athletic director. A report to the university regents says school officials turned a blind eye to the practice of luring football recruits with the promise of sex, alcohol, and drugs. NPR's Jeff Brady reports from Denver.
The report says the University of Colorado's football players are primarily to blame, but it says academic and sports officials should have done more to stop the practice. The Board of Regents directed the university's president to recommend changes to address the recruiting scandal. Regina Coles with the National Organization for Women's Boulder Chapter said the regents should have done more.
The profound change that's needed is the immediate firing of the coach and the athletic director, a consideration of the firing of the chancellor, and that the president of this university university get a grip on the problems.
University of Colorado President Elizabeth Hoffman has said she'll decide in coming weeks whether to fire the football coach, who is on paid administrative leave. Jeff Brady, NPR News, Denver.
The Communications Workers of America Union says it's calling for a 4-day strike against SBC Communications. The union, which represents about 100,000 workers at the giant telecom, said the strike is set to begin just after midnight Friday morning and continue until Tuesday. Union leaders said the strike would be limited to reduce potential damage to the company. The strike stems from a dispute over the provisions of a proposed new 5-year contract, including the company's demand that workers accept higher medical co-payments in their health plan. SBC is based in San Antonio, Texas. Corey Flintoff, NPR News, Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the American Legacy Foundation, building a world where young people reject tobacco and anyone can quit. Resources at AmericanLegacy.org.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Friday marks the centennial of the birth of the pianist, singer, and composer Fats Waller. We're celebrating today.
They have a new expression along Old Harlem Way that tells you when a party is 10 times more than gay. To say that things are jumping leaves not a single doubt that everything is in full swing when you hear someone shout. It is, the joint is jumping. It's really jumping. Come in, cats, and check your hats. I mean, this joint is jumping. The piano's thumping. The dancers are bumping. This here spot is more than hot. In fact, the joint is jumping. Check your weapons at the door. Be sure to pay your quarter. Burn your leather on the floor. Grab anybody's daughter. The roof is rocking. The neighbor's knocking. We're all bums when the wagon comes. I mean, the joint is jumping. Let it be. Yeah.
That's Fats Waller, recorded in 1937, a track featured on a new centennial reissue. Fats Waller was often a great clown as a performer, but that didn't mask his brilliance. He was a great pianist. As a singer, he recorded many novelty tunes and up-tempo songs, adding his own humorous asides. Waller was also a great songwriter, who had a very successful collaboration with lyricist Andy Razzaf. Some of the songs they wrote together include Ain't Misbehavin', Honeysuckle Rose, Black and Blue, and The Joint is Jumpin'. We're celebrating Waller's centennial with a concert of songs he composed featuring guitarist and singer Marty Gross. He's been performing Waller's music through his career, and as you'll hear, his singing is very influenced by Waller's, and he knows many famous and obscure Waller songs, even a few that Waller never recorded. Gross, who is, by the way, no relation to me, has made many records over his long career. Here to accompany him is cornetist Randy Reinhardt.
Marty Gross, Randy Reinhardt, welcome to Fresh Air, and thanks for celebrating Fats Waller's centennial with us. Why don't we start with a familiar Fats Waller song? Marty, what would you like to play?
Ain't Misbehavin'.
Good choice.
It's a fickle age, with flirting all the rage. Here is one bird with self-control. I'm happy within my cage. Thumbs down on all the rest. I know who I love best. My love was given heart and soul. so it can stand the test. No one to walk with all by myself. No one to talk with, but I'm happy on the shelf. A misbehaving, I'm saving my love for you, for you, for you, for you. I know for certain the one that I love. I'm through with flirting, it's you that I'm thinking of. A misbehaving, I'm saving all my love for you. Like Jack Horner in a corner, don't go nowhere, what do I care? Your kisses are worth waiting for, those big, fat, sloppy, greasy Philadelphia kisses. I don't stay out late, I've got no place to go. I'm home about 8, just me and my video, watching the Teletubbies. Ain't misbehaving, I'm saving my love for you, for you, for you. Saving all my love, baby, for you.
That's Marty Gross on guitar and vocals, Randy Reinhardt on cornet in our studio to celebrate the centennial of Fats Waller's birth. Marty Gross, you've been playing Fats Waller's music all your life. So what was it that first really reached you about Fats Waller's performances?
Well, Fats Waller was a very accessible artist. He did a lot of clowning around because he had to do a lot of third-rate material they shoved at him because he had a knack of turning Tin Pan Alley's worst material into gold. And so they gave him a lot of dog, what we would call dog tunes, and he made something of them because it was a kind of a spirit, a joie de vivre that came out of his playing. First of all, the time was, Fats Waller had perfect time. The minute he started, a little four-bar piano introduction, you knew when to put your foot down. If you were a dancer, you know, if you couldn't keep time to Fats Waller, they had to put you on a desert island. You were hopeless. That was one thing that grabs you right away, is the imperfect time he had, swing he had in his playing. And then when he started to sing, there were all sorts of monkey business was going on. That was very, and often it was a double entendre, you know. Often it was a little suggestive. In those days, that wasn't difficult to do, because one has to think back to the 1930s and 40s when you couldn't even say that someone was pregnant on the radio, you know. So all these, there were in his singing, there were all these little innuendos. And that's very catchy for kids like that. You know,
well, how old were you? How old were you when you started listening?
I have a brother who's 4 years older than I am. So in the late 30s, he would be listening to the radio, to the DJs, and also live broadcasts. And then it'd be all this, oh my, and it's a mess, and all kinds of explosions going on over the air. And that was very, you know, whatever you were doing, you had to say, what's going on there? You know, and it caught your attention.
So you were around 8, 9, 10 at the time you started listening. And it was partly like the mischief and the hokum of his performances that really appealed to you.
Yes, right.
Then you started playing as a musician, and as you got older, what did you hear in Fats Waller?
Oh, I can't think of any one piano player, a jazz pianist, who could draw the kind of tone out of a piano that Fats could. There are a few, but not many.
And what did that mean to you as a guitarist?
Well, I liked stride piano, and stride piano is, you know, where it's hard to define exactly 100% what stride piano is, but it's where the piano player can basically play a solo and keep time with his left hand. And I always loved that, always appealed to me. I mean, maybe it comes from march music or something, you know. Who knows? But I love it. Made me feel good. It still does. And I had a chance to see, when I was in my teens, then living in New York, I had a chance to see Willie the Lion Smith, famous Harlem stride piano player, James P. Johnson, who had been Fats's mentor. I thought there was no greater way to play jazz on the piano than these guys who could just take over and start making things happen.
And obviously Fats Waller's singing appealed to you also.
Well, yes, he was a terrific showman. He, along with Louis Armstrong and a few others, I also liked his voice. Sometimes he would drop the hokum and sing fairly straight. He had a very appealing voice. Whatever it was that he had, It was a magnet, you know, like Louis Armstrong. I think little kids hearing Louis or Fats would immediately say, be interested, where they wouldn't be interested in some guy playing tricky solos on a horn or something, you know, on a saxophone particularly.
Well, why don't you do another Fats Waller song for us? I'm going to ask you to do The Panic Is On. Marty, what can you tell us about this song and who co-wrote it with Fats Waller?
Well, a bunch of people. It's not his usual collaborator, Andy Razaf. So I can assume that the song was, you know, a multi effort of several people together. Maybe he was appearing, he always appeared in vaudeville on theaters. Maybe they had a little inkling of a song and he said, well, yeah, okay, because the middle part is strictly Fats, the way it's put together. But it's one that you never hear. You mentioned The Panic Is On and people say, who, Fats Waller? They think of Fats Waller and they think of two or three songs, you know, but not this one. So here we are. The Panic Is On. You want to play the first one?
Sure.
Okay. Good. All upset, pardon me, can't help but fret. I've paced the floor all the day. Since the dawn, I've phoned around. Since the dawn, I've combed this town. Has anyone seen my baby? She left me this morning without any warning. The panic is on. I'm crazy about her, I'm crazy without her. The panic is on. Why does she grieve me? Why does she leave me so blue and forlorn? Up in the air now, I'm tearing my hair now, I'm frantic and the panic is on. Why did she? What is the reason? I don't know. Maybe she was only teasing, I hope so. Oh, oh, the river's nearby, if she isn't here by tomorrow at dawn. I guess that I'll jump in, I've got to do something. I'm frantic and the panic is on, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Why did she? What is the reason? I don't know. Maybe she was only teasing. I hope so. The river's nearby if she isn't here by tomorrow at dawn. I guess that I'll jump in. I've got to do something. I'm frantic. Frantic and the panic is on.
That's great. That's Marty Gross on guitar and vocals and Randy Reinhardt on cornet playing Fats Waller's The Panic Is On. Boy, that was fun. You know, Fats Waller had such a kind of entertaining style of singing, which you really capture, Marty, in your style. What do you know about how he developed that style as opposed to just like singing straight?
Well, he was loath to do that when he was like the Willie the Lion Smith and James P. Johnson during the late 20s and early 30s were favorites at parties around New York, society parties. It was, Willie the Lion takes credit for it. Fats was fooling around, you know, and locally. He would go from one bar, one saloon, one deadfall to another, play the piano. They'd go all over the place and sit in. There was a fantastic nightlife in those days. It's hard to imagine nowadays. And Fats gradually, being that he was sort of a jolly guy, a fun-loving guy and a great drinker and everything, would start doing, singing little parodies and doing little pieces, bits of acting and tell jokes and all that kind of stuff. And they it was the lion who said, listen, Fats, you do this at the next party. They'd often have two or three piano players at the same time. They play two keyboards or they take turns, you know. And Fats started doing his hokum, and everybody stopped and started to listen. And that's what happened. That's how he started singing, you know.
We're going to take a short break here, and then we'll be back with more of our tribute to Fats Waller. This is Fresh Air. We're celebrating the centennial of Fats Waller's birth with a concert of his songs. My guests are guitarist and singer Marty Gross and trumpeter and cornetist Randy Reinhardt. So many of Fats Waller's songs were really entertaining and a lot of fun and really kind of infectious and upbeat. But he wrote some more ballad-like songs, too,
yes,
that had a kind of different emotional sound to them. And before I ask you to play one of those songs, I'm wondering... Marty, do you know if he wanted to, if he felt he wasn't taken seriously enough or that his serious side wasn't known enough?
Definitely. Definitely. I think from all that I've heard and I've talked to some of the guys who worked with him and so forth, definitely there was a kind of a split personality thing going on here. He really wanted to do nothing else but go someplace and play the piano all day and all night. He would... When he was staying at hotels and stuff, and during the day when the ballroom was empty, you know, the hotel ballrooms and stuff, he would go there and just sit there for hours and play the piano. And, of course, the problem is the minute somebody looked in, you know, customers were walking by and they heard somebody playing the piano beautifully, of course, and they said, oh, look, do you know who that is? That's him. Who? Fats Waller. And then they'd all of us come in, and then Fats would have to do his start doing his act, you know. But he wanted to be like Gershwin, to write serious things. And he was very much into that. Of course, it was the jokes and the act that made the money.
Could you choose one of his ballads for us and introduce it?
Okay. Why? How about Lonesome Me, which no relation to the... There was another song called Lonesome Me about 30 years ago or 40 years ago. This is not it. This is written in 32. And this is one that he spent a little more time on than us. As Johnny Guarneri, another famous jazz pianist who knew Fats, he said, you know, it was amazing. Tunes just popped out of his head. Next thing he was down at the piano, bing, knocking out Honeysuckle Rose or Ain't Misbehaving. Or, do this on the bridge. This one, I think he lingered over a little longer. It's got some very fortuitous chord changes and nice moments in it.
Do you know who wrote the lyric?
Andy Razaf, one of his chief collaborators. Okay, it goes like this. Lonesome me, with no one to love. Lonesome me, 'neath the moon above. Everywhere, lovers all around me, is it fair that no one has ever found me? I've got arms, empty night and day. I've got charms.
days, will they waste away, waste away? I'll just go on dreaming, waiting patiently for the one meant for lonesome me. Charms, will they waste away, waste away? I'll just go on dreaming, waiting patiently for the one meant for lonesome.
Marty Gross and Randy Reinhart will perform more songs by Fats Waller in the second half of our show as our Waller Centennial Celebration continues. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.
That ain't the cleaner. Here it is. Yes, yes. I'll polish the leaves, make them green again, shake out the trees, change the scene again. Spring cleaning, getting ready for love. Sweep out the nook. Down in Lover's Lane, turn on the brook, make it run again. Spring cleaning, getting ready for love. Dust off the wintry bowers, wash them off with April showers. Cover them with fragrant flowers, shine up the silvery moon. 'Cause you and I have a rendezvous under the sky, like we used to do. Spring cleaning, get ready for love, yeah.
Support for Fresh Air comes from the listeners of WHYY in Philadelphia, where Fresh Air is produced, and by the National Endowment for the Arts. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
Coming up, more of our concert tribute to Fats Waller. We'll also say hello to Al Casey, the guitarist who used to play in Waller's band. This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Today we're celebrating the centennial of Fats Waller's birth with a concert of songs he composed. My guests are singer and guitarist Marty Gross, who was very influenced by Waller and has performed Waller songs throughout his career. Accompanying him is cornetist Randy Reinhardt. Since Fats Waller was such a great songwriter, and yet most of his songs remain pretty obscure, let me ask you to do a couple of the more obscure ones for us and introduce them for us.
Okay, the first song in this little medley is Up Jumped You With Love. And when Fats's, I guess, 12-year-old at that time, or 13-year-old son, Maurice, heard him working on this song and heard him playing the bridge, the middle part of the song, he said, "Hey, Pop, come on, the same old stuff you always do. Change it. You know, think of something new." And so Fats did. So the bridge does, instead of just going the regular way, like... And in that way, it modulates intriguingly. And the second song was recorded by Benny Goodman with a vocal by Jack Teagarden, and it was recorded by several bands, actually, but never by Fats himself, although he wrote it. He wrote over 450 songs, so... and he was always busy. They always had him busy playing everybody else's stuff. So there we are. But these are two by Fats. I had no romance, no heavenly bliss. I never wanted a good night kiss. Then all at once, up jumped you with love. I read when in school of the bees and the flowers. I also heard of the spring and the showers. Then all at once, up jumped you with love, 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 love. Something happened to me quickly. Something made my heart act sickly. I knew then and there that strictly love had priority. I needed no stars, I wanted no moon. I always thought it was dumb to spoon. Then all at once, up jumped you with love. Waited for each other, ain't you glad? We were mated for each other, we agree constantly. Life is just a symphony of perfect harmony, ain't you glad? How we get along together, ain't you glad? We can laugh at stormy weather, folks declare. What a pair, they can see we're happy, ain't you glad? Oh, just like two lovers on picture covers, in spite of sun or rain, we find romance why every street we meet is lover's lane. Ain't you glad that our kisses keep their flavor? Ain't you glad everything is in our favor? Every day we can say everything is rosy. Ain't you glad? Happy.
Two songs by Fats Waller, played for us by Marty Gross, guitar and vocals, and Randy Reinhardt on cornet. They're celebrating with us the centennial of Fats Waller's birth. Well, we thought it would be interesting if we invited Al Casey to join us in this little celebration. And Al Casey is the guitarist who played with Fats Waller from 1933 until Waller's death in 1943. And before we call him up, Marty, was Al Casey influential on you? How would you describe Al Casey as a guitarist and his importance in Fats Waller's group?
Well, Fats was one of the few bands in those days. There was no amplification for guitars in those days. So Fats was one of the few bands where you heard the guitar, and indeed where the guitar was frequently featured, either backing up his vocals or in solos. Al got a lot of solo space on the Waller recordings during those years. And you just didn't get that with the big bands, and you didn't get it with a lot of little bands either. Either they didn't have a guitar, or if they did, the guy just played rhythm. So I think he was very important.
There is one recording that Al Casey is very prominently featured on, and he gets to solo. What recording is that?
With Fats, that would be Buck Jumping. Yeah. It's nice that he got the feature. He deserved it, you know.
Why don't we hear a little bit of Buck Jumping as we call Al Casey on the telephone? I think we have Al Casey on the phone now. Al Casey, welcome to Fresh Air. Thank you for joining us in this centennial celebration of Fats Waller.
Yes, thank you.
And with me here is guitarist and singer Marty Gross and cornetist Randy Reinhart, who are also great fans of yours. So what was it like to play with Fats Waller? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, it was a nice. It was wonderful. It was a very good experience for me. It was fun music.
It sure was.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And how did you meet Fats Waller?
Well, our two families knew each other. I met him through a part of my family. I had known him in his playing. And his playing kind of got to me in a way, you know. And so I tried to combine both of them, his play and my play.
Well, I have a feeling Marty Gross has something he wants to ask you. Marty, do you have anything you want to ask Al
Casey? Yeah, I'd like to ask him about Buck Jumping.
Yeah, it was Buck Jumping.
You wrote that, right?
Yes.
Well, it's good.
Well, it was one of those things where one day he said, I want to record guitar. He said, make up something, and I did. And luckily it turned out pretty good.
Yeah, very nice. It's great sound.
Yeah, thank you. And that was acoustic box.
That's right. That's why it's so good.
Yeah, I liked it myself.
Yeah.
You know, Fats Waller was famous for not only being a great musician and songwriter, but he was fat, which was how he got his nickname. He also drank a lot, and that helped, I think, ruin his health. He died of pneumonia in 1943. Did you ever worry about his health when you were playing with him?
Oh, did I ever worry about him? Of course I did. But he seemed to be all right, and, you know, I didn't know that much was wrong with him until it happened, you know? And it kind of shocked me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, kind of did what it did to me.
Right.
You can imagine.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Are you doing anything to celebrate the Fats Waller centennial?
No, I've been kind of laid up lately, so I'm still at home. I've had a lot of nice calls and visits too, you know. And I haven't made it out. But I mean, I know about it, and it's kind of. Oh, well, you know. You know what I feel about it.
Well, I want to thank you for spending some of this time with us.
Well, I want to thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're turning 90 yourself, is that right?
Not quite that. Almost.
Almost. Okay. All right.
Okay. Thank you so very much.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Al Casey spoke to us from his home in New York. We'll continue our concert of Fats Waller songs after a break. This is Fresh Air. We're celebrating the centennial of Fats Waller's birth with guitarist and singer Marty Gross and cornetist Randy Reinhardt. Why don't you play an instrumental for us? How about Fats Waller's song, Black and Blue? Fats Waller's melody, Black and Blue, played by Marty Gross on guitar and Randy Reinhardt on cornet. Randy, I've been spending the time talking with Marty because I know he's performed so much Fats Waller music throughout his career.
Right.
But obviously you have a real knack for Fats Waller's music, too. I'm just wondering what he means to you as a musician.
Well, I just loved, I first heard him, I guess I was in high school, and I brought a record home of all kinds of various big band recordings, and then I heard a tune by him called All My Life, and right away I just loved it. So I went out and bought a few Fats Waller albums, so I was a fan right away, and just loved his playing, loved his singing and his entertaining and everything. And so when I started playing jazz professionally, I had a friend play a bunch of different trumpet players for me for style comparisons, and one of the trumpet players that I really liked was Bill Coleman, and of course he was on all of the early Fats Waller recordings, so I guess I got introduced that way.
And that's Randy Reinhardt, cornetist, and Marty Gross, we brought you here to celebrate the centennial of Fats Waller's birth, but I'm going to cheat a little bit and talk with you, Marty, just a little bit about your life and career, which is pretty interesting too. And you were actually born in Germany.
Berlin.
In 1930.
Right.
Your father was the cartoonist and painter George Grosz.
Correct.
Who in 1920s Berlin was doing a lot of political satire and caricature and was about to get himself into a lot of trouble. What was he doing that was...
Well, what was he doing that got him in trouble? Yes. He and as early as 1923, 22, he had done several scathing cartoons of Hitler himself. And, of course, he was on the left and against the fascists. And so I'm rather proud. I believe, I'm not 100% sure of this, but he was, I think, the first, after Hitler took power, the first German artist slash intellectual to lose his German citizenship. Of course, he wasn't in Germany at the time, so that if he'd been there, he would have been that would have been the end of him, because he had gotten a job teaching at the Art Students League. This is
in New York.
Yeah, they wanted to have somebody who was hip and politically acerbic, and so they sent him a telegram. He was in Berlin at the time, and he of course leaped at it. He like many European intellectuals and artists. They loved America, and they wanted to see the skyscrapers and the whole thing.
So I think you were three when you moved with your family to New York.
I moved,
right?
Yeah, my mother came and got us in 33, and yes, that's right.
So when you were growing up in New York, were there a lot of German emigres, a lot of artists who had fled Germany who were
yes.
your father's friends and at your house?
You know, the house was full of them. We had all kinds of interesting people. I think it was a great way to grow up. There was hardly a time when we didn't have some refugee staying with us. One of them had been in a concentration camp, and in those days you could still buy your way out, so I guess he got bought out and got out through Russia, and we had they were constantly there, and my father would sign for them so that they could somebody have to vouch for you. And so we had them staying with us for 6 months, almost a year, and several of them, until they could get some kind of work and get settled, you know.
Did you grow up thinking that being an artist was a dangerous occupation, because all of the artists who you knew growing up were in risk of being executed?
No, strangely, I didn't. No, I didn't think it was dangerous at all. I saw pictures of the artists, and sometimes my father had some pictures reproduced in a magazine or something like that, and I thought, wow, this is the big time, you know. No, I didn't. For some reason, I didn't get that. I got that feeling later, you know, when I was more adult. I saw what the risks were of insulting the powers, you know, the ruling powers.
My guests are guitarist and singer Marty Grosz and cornetist Randy Reinhardt. They'll perform another song by Fats Waller after a break. This is Fresh Air. We're celebrating the centennial of the birth of Fats Waller with a concert of his songs performed by cornetist Randy Reinhardt and guitarist and singer Marty Grosz. You taught yourself to play guitar, right?
That's right.
No lessons at all?
No. I wish I had.
Are there things in retrospect that you realized you learned wrong, upside down,
yes.
whatever?
Yes, you make a lot of mistakes when you teach yourself.
What did you do wrong?
Oh, I used my thumb. Like this, with a thumb, you're not supposed to do that, you know, to get a correct position on the hand.
You used your thumb to chord.
Yeah, yeah.
On the frets.
Yeah, and then I had to unlearn that, and then you just do a lot of things could have been simplified for me, you know, guys show you easier way to do things and how to learn things. But on the other hand, not that I did belong in that in this pantheon, but you have to think Eddie Lang, Django Reinhardt, a whole bunch of those guys taught themselves. You know, I mean, they got a few pointers from Uncle So and So and stuff, and then basically they went their own way, and oftentimes all backwards. You know.
Did your father approve of you becoming a musician?
Yes. My mother, not so happy about it. As she once said to me, do you mean you want to be like those people in the swing bands that go chink, chink, chink all the time? And I said, yeah, Ma.
The music that influenced you when you were young is the music that has remained closest to your heart, like the music of Fats Waller. Was there ever a period in your life where you felt like, I got to get contemporary, I got to play bebop, or I got to play, you know, whatever the music of the moment was as you were coming of age?
Yes.
You're laughing.
Well, I of course. I got the records. I got books on how to, you know, so-and-so's, I can't remember the methods, you know, bebop licks, you know, 101 licks for cool licks for guitar, you know, modern harmonies and all that kind of stuff. And I remember I got an amp. The amp was the size of a fireplace. You know, you have to wear two trusses to get it up the stairs to a job, you know. And I must say, I got an electric guitar, and I plugged it into the amp, and I thought I was God for about 3 days. I would plug that thing and turn up the amp and say, my God, it's like an organ. You can hear everything. Oh, my, just ooh-ah, 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 ooh, all this sound coming out of there. And then I started taking along to jobs, and I didn't know how to play it. I played much too hard. When you learn acoustic, you have a much different attack. And then I found out you couldn't really play good rhythm guitar on an amp. With an amp, because the notes hang on too long. You know, you can't get, you know, you can, and the notes on an amp with an electric guitar, the notes sustain as long as you keep your fingers down. So you get guys playing everything, and that hangs even longer than that, and that tends to make it kind of logy sounding. You don't have a crisp sound, you know, and the attack is different. And, I mean, since 99 and 44, 100% of the guitar players who play jazz use amps, I'm obviously the one that's out of step.
Right, right. Well, sadly, our time has run out. So I want to thank you, Marty Gross, for talking with us and for performing some of the work of Fats Waller. Randy Reinhardt, thank you so much for being with us today and for playing cornet. And it's really been fun to celebrate Fats Waller's centennial. In fact, I'm going to ask you to play a final song for us. And Marty, want to choose a song?
Crazy About My Baby. I'm walking on air, 'cause I've left all my blue days behind. I've learned how to care, 'cause there's love, really love, on my mind. I'm the world's most happy creature. Tell me, what can worry be? I'm crazy about my baby. My baby's crazy about me. Cupid was the teacher, he and I agree. I'm crazy about my baby. My baby's crazy about me. Parson, get that book out, ready in your hand. Keep a lookout, you can understand. We're an A1 combination, a perfect he and she. I'm crazy about my baby, oh, my baby's crazy about me. Thank you.
that book out, ready in your hand. Keep a steady lookout, you can understand. A1 combination, perfect he and she. Crazy about my baby, oh, my baby's crazy about me. My baby's crazy about me.
Our thanks to trumpeter and cornetist Randy Reinhart and guitarist and singer Marty Gross, who is no relation to me. If you want to find out more about his music, he spells his name G-R-O-S-Z. Friday is the centennial of Fats Waller's birth. Gross and Reinhart will perform a tribute to Waller at Birdland in New York in June. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our Fats Waller centennial tribute was engineered by Audrey Bentham with Scott Williams and edited by Anne-Marie Baldonado. I'm Terry Gross.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make came from you. I'm gonna write words oh so sweet, they're gonna knock me off my feet. A lot of kisses on the bottom, I'll be glad I got them. I'm gonna smile and say, I hope you're feeling better. Close with love the way you do. I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from.
Major funding for Fresh Air is provided by Barnes & Noble. Now featuring My Soul Looks Back in Wonder, Voices of the Civil Rights Experience by Juan Williams. Available at Barnes & Noble stores and at bn.com. From the listeners of WHYY in Philadelphia, where Fresh Air is produced. And by Delta Trade Paperbacks, a division of Random House, publisher of Trouble with Girls, stories about the romantic education of an ordinary guy looking for love by Marshall Boswell. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
The new documentary Control Room takes us behind the scenes at Al Jazeera, the popular and controversial Arab news channel. The movie was shot just before and during the war in Iraq. On the next Fresh Air, we hear from the director, Jahan Nujaimi, and from Al Jazeera senior producer, Samir Kadir. I'm Terry Gross. Join us for the next Fresh Air.